Welcome back to Help I'm Creative. My name is Olivia Peck, and today I'm talking to Roche Washington. I really love his mindset, and I wanted to share what he says with you because it's great advice for any creative, and he's a great friend of mine to have for this reason. You can catch him in All Screwed Up, a visual tribute for DJ Screw. So it just was released, and you can go to allscrewedup.com to see him in that. Please enjoy our conversation, and thanks for listening.
Hello, I'm creative. Hello, I'm creative.
Hello, I'm creative. Welcome to the pod.
Is that the literal name of it?
No, the pod is called Help, I'm Creative.
I like that.
Yeah, because I need help all the time.
And we can help each other.
Yeah, and I think everybody kind of does, especially like creative people. I don't know. We've got a lot going on in the brain. You seem to have such a good mindset, and you're so like, you seem like you have such a clear mindset, and it's helped me like a lot in our friendship. I wanted to talk to you about that. I wanted to tell people like briefly how we know each other. We know each other from the Unintentional Community.
By Patrick Sanderson.
Yes, good old
Patrick. And Zach Jenkins.
Yep.
And Olivia was the lead.
You always say that, but it was, I mean.
She was literally the lead.
It's an ensemble cast, like The Office. It doesn't make any sense to say I'm the lead or shit, whatever. I'm not even, you know I'm not good at this. Oh my God. Way to go. You're ruining my own podcast, sabotaging the show by embarrassing me.
It's fun watching you torture.
Yeah, I am tortured.
No, but yeah, that's where we met, and we've been buddies ever since. That was what, 2017?
Yeah, I think it was. And okay, so it's really funny because you were one of my only friends when I moved to New Orleans, and we'd hung out. I remember this, and the first time I knew you were like a really good friend was when I was like, I was new to town. I was kind of naive, to be honest. And I was talking about, you know, I was like kind of meeting new people and trying new things. And you were just so honest with me about things. Like you literally told me like, don't date that person.
Literally. I can be a bit abrasive sometimes.
No, but I needed it because I didn't have anybody else telling me that. Like, I didn't have anyone really, like, looking out for me. Because you can always have people be like, oh, you know, like, just tell you what you want to hear. So I'm very grateful for you being honest with me about stuff.
I value myself on, like, honesty. Because I want people to be honest with me, because I feel like whatever problems we have, as long as we're honest, we could talk it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you
know, people's talking out problems because they don't like being honest.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't like talking about their problems. They don't like opening up. But that's something I really admire about you. A lot. Another reason I want to talk to you about mindset is because I'm a nervous person, usually. Like, I get really nervous for auditions. I get really nervous for things. And you are pretty grounded. And I remember we did this acting class in New York, which was, like, really high-level stuff. And I was really nervous. And you were just so calm. And you told me, like, you know, you were just so grateful to be there. And so that's why you were so calm. Do you have anything to say about that?
If anybody knows Olivia, they know why we're laughing right now. Okay. I do have something to say about that. Small experiences, like being able to go to another city, like the big city, the Big Apple, New York, and be able to study my craft, something that I'm passionate about and that I love. It was just so, like, cool, to be honest. So it's like, if I have that on my mind, like, the whole time, instead of, like, all the things that could go wrong, I'm just like, damn the things that could go wrong. Like, so many things are going good. Like, the fact that I'm here doing this, it's, like, amazing. So that's what kind of, like, frees me of the anxiety to be the best and just enjoy the moment.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Okay. So tell me, do you get nervous? How do you, like, handle really high pressure situations when it's like, okay, it feels like you can't escape it and you can't just, like, snap out of it?
It's funny that you say that, because I'm actually experiencing that right now. Before the big release of the project and all of the press and everything that's going, like, it gives me anxiety to even think about it, to be honest. So I've never truly felt this way before.
Okay.
Like, what you explained is what I said, like, it's no cutting it off. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's no escaping it. It's going to happen. It's just like, but when I do get nervous, like, for performances or anything, I just kind of, like, channel that nerves from my confidence, the fact that I know I'm prepared. Like, if I know that I'm prepared, like, if I know that I prepared as much as I could, and I know what I'm doing, like, I know my spots, I know my lines, I know my notes, I know my transitions, like, I know everything that's coming next, then that really makes me be like, okay, well, let's just kill it, instead of being nervous. Because when you're nervous, it's because you're unsure, you know?
Oh, that's a good... Okay.
Are always good, but a lot of nervous means you're unsure. Like, because if you know what you're doing, then just kill it. Like, it's no need to be nervous, because we've been done this 100 times, you know?
Right.
If you've prepared that much.
Yeah, so yours comes from confidence and being prepared.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. I feel like a lot of people kind of self-sabotage. Like, they don't prepare quite enough. Yeah, that's really good. That's really helpful advice. And that's what, like, experts say about anxiety. Just focus, shift your focus. That's really good. And it's also reassuring to hear that even you, somebody who's has such a good, strong, grounded mindset, still experiences serious, like, you know, just discomfort about certain...
It's extremely uncomfortable for me.
Oh my God.
It is. It's like... So that's why when you said that, when you text me that, I was just like, she has no idea how I feel right now. Like, the anxiousness of, like, not knowing. See, this I have no control over.
Right.
Because there's no way to prepare for it.
Oh... Okay, so that's really big, like your lack of control over a situation.
And then I feel unprepared because I don't know anything about this transition, and neither do, like, my friends. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, there's nobody I could call and be like, hey, what can I expect?
That is really, like, hard when you feel alone. Like, not enough support, because who are you, who really has done this, or who do you know that's in the exact same situation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you're still very much, like, living a normal life, and then at the same time you have this huge project coming up. Okay, so let's talk about what we're talking about a little bit. So what is the anxiety coming from? What's the big project?
I'm a part of a visual tribute that's a project that was made in Houston, Texas, about an iconic DJ named DJ Screw, Robert L. Davis Jr. He's the inventor of chop and screw music, slow down music, the sound. You can hear, like, in a lot of Travis Scott, Beyonce, Rick Ross, I mean, you name it. It's like all of the hip-hop's culture. And he passed away 20 years ago this year on November 16th. So they're doing a documentary and a visual tribute for him and his family and his fans. And I'm cast as DJ Screw. So it's a pretty big deal. And I'm secure in the fact that I know I did a good job because I had control over that. Yeah. So I'm secure in the fact that I know I did a good job, but the whole other aspect of it, like having so much to live up to after this, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I just consider myself a regular actor. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just like, you know, everybody else. And everybody's like, no, you're not. You're DJ Screw. And I'm like, I get it, but I'm still just a regular actor that just had right. one other job. You know what I'm saying?
You're not it's trying not like to, like, downplay yourself or anything. You're just trying to like relate. It's like I'm going yes. through this, people.
And it's just like you. I feel like it's so much pressure, so much like to exceed and succeed and do well after this. And people that really know the acting industry know that all the time it's not that. So it's that pressure of like actually still being a successful actor after and looking more jobs and I don't know.
Would you, Will? You're so, like, Roche is so talented. He's so natural. And you're also really vulnerable. There's not a lot of actors that I see. Like, I feel like there are so many people, like, you did theater and everything. And a lot of times theater, you know, you're a little actory. I just don't see that at all with you. You're just so natural and so vulnerable. And you're so great at comedy for that reason too. I like roped him into my web series for that. Also because I wasn't not going to, but please do this with me. No, but you will have much success. You're doing this huge thing. Where are your roots? What was your journey to get there? Because that's super inspiring to me.
My journey getting to this point.
Yeah.
Was a crazy one. I guess I could start off by saying after college. I mean, because if I go before that point, we'll be here forever. But after college, I graduated my degree of finance, and I got into banking. And I was in banking for like maybe 2 years, and then I got into working in accounting at a law firm in Baton Rouge, and I actually got fired from there after being there for like a month. It was some prejudice issues going on there of what happened. And but when I actually got let go on a Friday, that next Wednesday was when I got signed by my agent. So, wow. I mean, I knew God was like giving me a sign then, like, this is what you need to be doing, like, yeah. trying to do the wrong thing. So that made me feel much better about it, the fact that it played out like that, because that had been something I was already seeking on the side, but couldn't really do it full time because I was, you know, of course, working, keeping apart from the car and all this kind of thing. So, but I guess once I got fired, which was my first time ever getting fired, so you could imagine, if it was something I didn't do, which was like, wow, but it I was just knew God had a plan.
They were prejudice. They were racist.
Yeah, they were prejudice, yeah.
Okay, and, I just wanted to clarify that because I wanted to make sure it was caught.
Yeah.
In the story, that's huge. I mean, that's...
So, after that, I was working at a hotel for a while and just started the audition. I mean, the regular, what everybody else was doing, but I wasn't getting auditions like that. I was getting maybe one a month, literally. Like, I was not getting a lot of auditions. So, I took some classes, some workshops. I did some plays all in the midst of like 3 or 4 years.
Is this when you did Hairspray?
I did Hairspray, I did Hands Up, Seven Play Testaments, I did, I can't think, I did one other play, but yeah, that's when I did those plays over those summers.
You were nominated for Best.
Oh, yes. I was nominated for Best Actor in the theater for that year for all the performances. Yeah, and that was pretty big because I only did one play with them. I just like came in and did one play that summer and left.
It never surprises me when you get.
Wow.
It really doesn't.
It definitely surprises me every time. So, but all that happened, and then I did, then I booked my first like Whoop De Doo, which was unintentional with Patrick.
Yes.
That was the best experience I've ever had on set. I mean, the people that we met, like, we got to stay on the cabin and eat.
Me too.
And
yeah,
wood fires. Like, I mean, you don't get that. Like,
and we all just
get caught in the rain. Yes, the lights went off. Like, telling ghost stories. Like, we got to see St. Francisville. It was a lot, but it was cool. So after that, I kind of started to take my career a little more serious. I was working a lot of side jobs. I mean, I was a teacher. I was a mental health specialist. I worked at hotels. I did essence work on operations teams. I did everything for those couple of years. And came around and I just got an audition through email for this project from IYO Agency, which is the company that put on the DJ Screw tribute. And I auditioned, did the tape audition. They found me on backstage, which the weird part about it is on backstage, my profile hadn't been updated since 2012.
Oh my gosh.
So like, I didn't have any professional headshots. I didn't have any work that I've done since then, which was literally nothing but like theater stuff in high school. So they solely like gave me an audition based off my look.
I cannot believe when people, I've told like a couple of people like, yeah, my friend booked a huge gig on backstage. People don't realize that, yeah, your agent books you stuff. Like, of course, that's wonderful, especially if you have a great agent, you have a great agent. But even when you have, like, the best agent in the world, you can still, those independent projects, I mean, they don't always go through casting directors. They really don't. It's something to be aware of. And, like, backstage is, like, a decent thing. I mean, it's been great for you, so.
Yeah, I guess I just didn't know, which me and a lot of, like, my other actor friends, I guess I didn't know that. Everybody don't know about actors access and how to create profiles, especially when you're putting together a project. But backstage is a known name, so, like, the main thing I'm pretty, one of the main sites he probably went on to look for actors was backstage, probably the first one he went to, you know.
Yeah.
But the fact that I just had a profile on there, I mean, I wasn't paying for it or anything like that. It just was there. So I didn't even know it was active. Which you might even still search.
God.
And then the good thing about it was they probably had messaged me on backstage, but I didn't get it. So I guess they probably figured, I don't know, but they emailed me directly. My email was still the same. Hint, 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 don't change your email and all that
stuff. Thank goodness.
My email was still the same from 2012. So I got the email, signed the NDA, did the audition, and about a month later, when I was in New York, I found that I got the part. So they flew me down there to do, like, to meet the family and, you know, meet with some dialect coaches and things. But for me, it was history in the making.
So just to clarify, everyone, Roche abandoned me in New York during... I'm just
literally
a group of us went to New York from New Orleans, a bunch of New Orleans actors. And we went to this really great class called William Esper Studio. And Roche was like my buddy. And I was so happy he was there. And he told us at the beginning, he was like, here's that mindset coming in again. There are so many things I can point to your amazing mindset going in. Like, I'm going to book something. You were like, I'm either going to book something in New York or I'm going to book something in the Southeast. And you were like dead set on it. And I'm not like that. I'm kind of like, I don't want to say something and then it not be true, but you are so positive. And sure enough, we get there and you booked not one, but two projects, not just DJ Screw.
Yes.
You also booked something else in like Atlanta or something.
No, in New Orleans, Mona Lisa and the Blood Moon with Craig Robinson and Kate Hudson.
Okay, yeah. And was that the one, are you allowed to talk about that? Is it out?
It's not out yet, but I could talk about it. I mean, of course, my part.
So what, wait, so what are you, is that the one where you're at the front desk?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is a big project too.
I play Barry, the receptionist, at a child insane asylum.
Okay.
Interesting things happen.
Interesting things you have to watch. What's it called?
Mona Lisa and the Blood Moon. I don't know when it's coming out, and it's like making me pull my hair out because we shot it 2 years ago.
Okay, well, that'll be exciting. So, moral of the story, you stay positive, you speak things into existence, then they happen. They have. And you really keep the faith. You really keep the faith. You're always, whenever I talk to you, you're like so positive. And I mean, not like too positive, because you're definitely honest and vulnerable. Yeah. And like right now, you're telling me what you struggle with, but you don't, you know, what is it? You walk through the
valley of the shadow of death.
But you don't camp out there.
Oh, that's so sweet, Olivia.
I thought of you when I heard that. I heard that on another podcast, but it's true.
Well, that's a good podcast name, another podcast.
Yeah, that is a good name. I heard it on Getting Curious with JVN, and he's talking to this woman. She is a Holocaust survivor, and she talks about mindset too, and well, she talks about just overcoming adversity. So you live in New Orleans, you're from New Orleans, and you don't get too comfortable, even though you live there. Like, I can't live in my hometown because I feel like I would just turn into like a blob. But you, even though you live, you're from there. Do you know what I'm saying, kind of?
I think mainly is because the environment that I create around me.
Okay.
You know, like, I be around people like y'all that aren't from here. So, for one, I get to see another side of the city that you don't experience as a local. Open to go to new places, see different things. Different neighborhoods, different houses, and things like that. And for two, like, I keep myself plugged into like acting, which makes me like think outside the box, you know, outside of the norms.
Okay. You know what I just realized about you? Whenever we've hung out or gone somewhere in New Orleans, the only thing you've ever said, like, connected to, oh, like, you're past or experiences is you know where to park, but you're never jaded by, oh, I've been here a million times, like, oh, this is where, and you don't like get sucked into, like, even though you're from there, you're still like ready for the next thing, ready for a new experience in the town.
That's true.
Yeah, you're never like, oh, this is where, like, well, that's how I am. That's why I am. And everybody's like, no one freaking cares. Like, let's think about today and what we're doing.
Like that sometimes, though. Like, when we uptown in the area where I kind of grew up at, I'll be like, oh, I grew up in this house, and I used to ride to that store. So I'm like that sometimes.
I love it when you say stuff like that.
Sometimes it's like, I'm just here for the experience.
Like, yeah. In the moment. That's why you're a good actor. So something I noticed about you, we like lived together during Polar Express. Oh my gosh, that was so crazy. You do not need a lot. You're like super self-sufficient. You don't ask for a lot. And at the same time, you have a lot of self-respect and confidence. You know, some people,
too much.
Well, some people, like, it doesn't match. Like, some people, like, don't need a lot because they don't know how to ask for anything. And some people, and so it's like a confidence issue, but you just genuinely, I think, you know what you need, and like, that's enough.
I know boundaries.
Uh-huh. Okay. Tell me about that. How do you... Boundaries? That's something I'm trying to pick up.
I think it stems from, you remember that time we was in Nashville? I'm gonna say like the local state Nashville. And we were talking about like who's going to get this room or who's going to sleep there or who's going to sleep on the floor.
Yeah.
And I said, and we had a whole conversation about, like, I'm always the person to be like, oh, I'll take the floor. It's not that big of a deal, to kind of take the heat, you know, off of everything.
Yeah.
So I think it really stems from something bad. It stems from, like, me not feeling worthy enough. Like, I shouldn't have, sorry.
Okay.
Like I shouldn't have the bed, or I shouldn't have the front seat. So it's like, well, I'll just take the lowest thing. Give me the small piece. I'll just eat on this. I'll just eat on
the small piece.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of humbleness and a mixture of, like, me not feeling, knowing my worth all the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think over the years, it's just transformed into, like, a humbleness and, like, me learning my worth, because sometimes now I won't just be like, oh no, I'll sit in the back. Oh no, I'll squeeze in. You know what I'm saying? Oh no, I'll take the lesser form. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes now I'll put my foot down and I'll be like, no, I'm not sleeping on the floor either. You know? But I think it comes from that. And being grateful, like, especially when somebody's doing something for you. Like, people have really done stuff for me a lot my whole life. So I've learned how to be, like, at minimum, like, I don't want to be an inconvenience. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be here without being here. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God, that, like, hurts my soul to hear.
Why?
Because you're never an inconvenience. That's not.
I know, but that's just, like,
your mindset. Like,
yeah, because I've been through a lot of different situations where I have been put on as that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I had to learn how to live with people. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know everything when I first started living with people and visiting places and doing things. So you're kind of getting the master, Roche, at this point of, like, you know what I'm saying, staying with someone, no matter if it's a friend, family, or whoever.
Yeah.
I've just kind of mastered the respect of, you know, you don't want to play your music too loud while you're in the room, or you want to be stomping around the house because, you know, what if they're sleeping? What if their roommate is sleeping? You know what I'm saying? You don't want to just, like, be an asshole. Like, you don't want to cook and just leave the dishes all out. You know, if you do see a couple of dishes in the sink, what's wrong with getting it? Nothing. You know what I'm saying? You want it to be a pleasure that you stayed or those people helped you. So, like, if I use your car, I'm going to put gas in it and I'm going to get it washed. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. Like, you want to make it be like, oh, wow, I'm glad that I helped him do that. Instead of like, whew, that's over. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay. So here's what I'm wondering. Would you consider yourself a people pleaser, or would you say that's going too far? Or do you just try to be, like, a good person?
I just try to be a good person because I'm appreciative when people do things for me, because I know you don't have to. That's just the bottom line.
I'm gonna cry. I have two more questions.
I love these questions.
Yay, yeah? Okay, I'm glad you love them. I think something about you is you are so open-minded, clearly, because you're just talking about, you know, meeting new people who are not from your hometown and just putting up with people like me who are just all over, like, other artists. And we've talked about this a little bit, but you're not afraid to, even in, like, I would say, unintentional community a little bit, like, define stereotypes or tropes, and your willingness to be vulnerable on film, which is a totally different thing. So what's your, I guess, advice or reason or whatever for that? Like, where does that come from? And how are you so, like, brave?
When you think about things that you've overcame in life, you know what I'm saying? Like, situations that you've been through and things that you've conquered, it gives you, like, a sense of strength to be like, yeah, I could do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm that person. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's where a lot of my bravery comes from. And then a lot of it comes from, like, confidence of, like, learning who I am more and more and more. That just gives me, like, more superpower in acting, like, learning who I am, because it gives me more room to be whoever else, because I know who Roche is. Like, I feel like people are afraid to, like, be other things or try to see what that is because they don't even fully know who they are, you know?
Ooh.
So in acting, you have to allow yourself to, like, be something else for a while, you know? Feel a different feeling, like, that you've never felt before sometimes. So I think it comes from my confidence.
Yeah, you're so confident, but not in like a narcissistic way. And I think people need to kind of, I think people who have an identity crisis in their 20s or even later in life, you know, confidence is everything. And I feel like you have such a good balance of confidence and, yeah, like knowing who you are. How did you find out who you Roche was? Like, what would you say if you had to like boil it down? How did you find that out?
I think a lot of who you are by what other people tell you. And people don't believe that that's true, but the only person that can show you who you are the most is people that's closest to you. Like, they know you more than yourself.
Yeah.
Because your true self, because what you actually give off, what you actually, not your intentions, but what you actually give off to the world, like what you'll be remembered as, because you're not going to be here to be able to defeat yourself and be like, oh, Roche was this kind of person. No, Roche was this kind of person. Whatever you left off by giving off, that's the person who you are. And I think that me being around a lot of my friends like you and other people that I'm around that tell me you're this, like you're doing right now, you're confident, you're strong, you have a strong mindset. That gives me more strength. Like I told you, that helps me to feel more confident by somebody telling you. That's why I tell you all the time, like, you're beautiful, you're talented, like, you're gonna, like, because that's what you give off. That's not something that I'm like fake seeing. That's what you give off to me. Just like I give off those things to you, you give off that thing to me. So it's like, no matter who you think you are, that's who you are. No matter if you don't think that you are that, that's just who you are. It just takes you a while to catch up to that. And once you match it, you'd be like, okay, wait, I really am talented. I really am a star. Like, I really am this. Like, then you'll start to operate anymore.
That is such good wisdom, because I think people are so concerned with, I'm not going to worry about what anybody else thinks, which is a totally different lane.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is we're interacting with people, and especially in acting, you have to know how you're perceived to a certain extent.
Yeah.
If you don't really know that, then like you said, you can't really match it. And then there's a mismatch happening.
Yep, because you'll be like disillusioned that you think you're this person, but you're not.
Right. Like Lance Nichols talked to me about that. He was talking about in the beginning of his career, he was like, I'm a Denzel Washington. And then he realized, well, that's not really my type. Like, that's not how I'm necessarily perceived. I'm Lance. I'm this person. And so that has stuck with me, because I thought I was like a nerd, like a teacher type. And Turns out I'm a little bit more quirky than that.
Which is a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing about your personality, your quirkiness.
Thanks. It is what it is. And it's like, now I don't fight it as much. I'm just,
yeah. So when you embrace it, that's when things, especially once you bring that to your auditions.
Right.
I'm telling you, the audition I just booked with a TV show that I booked, which by the way, all the scenes were cut. So I booked it. Then the next day, my agent was like, hey, they cut the scenes. But the director loves you so much that they want to bring you on another.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm waiting on that to happen. But the audition, security guard that's telling somebody, like, get off a dock in New Orleans. So, like, I gave two. My first one was Roche, like, out of this world. Like, get from off this parking lot. I told you to move. Oh, six. I don't give a damn about no code. If you don't get off this parking lot. So... So that is what I gave them, because that's me. That's mm-hmm. how I would have been responding if I was at work and somebody was coming, you know. And then the second one was the kind of regular, more monotone one, you know, more matter of fact. And I feel like once we start turning, and that's why I booked it. I haven't booked anything since Mona Lisa and DJ Screw last summer. So when I was like, she said you booked it, I was like, what?
Wow.
But I was because I was being Roche. I was being myself. There's power in that.
Yes. And you also know how to turn it on and turn it off. if you don't know how you are, who you are, your thing, whatever it is, then you also can't turn it off.
Turn it off, yep.
And so you can be a character or you can be Roche. It's something that you can flip between. That's really good. Congrats on that, by the way. I didn't know you did that. Okay, my last thing is, do you have one piece of advice for creatives? Your face, you look like a little kid. That was so cute.
I would say my advice would be to make sure that you're in the field that you're supposed to be in. Like, make sure that you're doing. And the way that you know that is by being aligned. I'm very spiritual, so whatever spiritual beliefs you have, like, if you're in aligned with those beliefs, things will start happening for you. Like, you'll get signs, you know what I'm saying? That's how you know, like, when you want to quit. Every time you want to quit from an acting, you know, audition, that's where you're supposed to be at. And every time you want to, you know, and to never give up, because your time can't always be coming. Always be prepared for that big to-do that you're asking for, because that kind of slapped me in the face, but I was prepared. I was like, okay, right. But I didn't expect it, so it's like it could happen to anybody, you know?
Yeah.
I'm no, like, I'm peculiar and I'm special, but I mean, you could ask all my acting friends, it could have been any one of us, you know? So it's just like knowing what you do, loving what you do, and don't let other people cast their fears on you.
Oh, that's so good.
I didn't come up with that. It just sounds good, but don't let other people cast, because they would definitely do that. I don't think you should move there because of this. I don't think you should do that because of that. I don't think you should go for a new agent. I don't think you should go to LA. I don't think you should take this part. I think you should do this. I think that's other people's fears. That has nothing to do with yours. Like, go with your heart and your mood.
I didn't expect that. I knew it was going to be, you would have some good advice, but I didn't realize I was, like, going to be really moved. This is such a good topic. I'm so proud of myself for coming up with this topic.
I am proud of you as well. I am so proud of you.
Oh, proud. Okay, Roche also was the first person to tell me that I have a monotone sometimes. And it, some people, like, don't believe it until I do it. They're like, no, you don't. You sound so, like, not monotone. And that was such a good lesson for me, because apparently that's a thing. Like, when I'm really overstimulated, I'll, like, have a monotone. And and that's been a running joke. What was it? We were playing a game, and you won. We were playing, like, a board game. What game was
that? So the backstory behind it was Olivia wasn't winning, so she was feeling bad for not winning. And then everybody else was winning, and then she was just like, that's amazing. You won again, Roche. You're so good. Oh, God. How are you guys so good at this game?
Yeah, and I'm a little competitive. a little bit. Thank you so much for doing this.
See, you're getting so much better.
I know. That's because I think I used to be a little bit more insincere, and actually,
yeah.
Stop recording.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you. I'm your host, Olivia Peck. Join us next time when we talk to an amazing artist, Maddie, and get all of her advice as to how to make friends, how to be a person, and she's another calm, cool, collected individual, so I love talking to her. She's super funny and great, and a new friend of mine, so toodles.